Once again, Nirvana.
It's May of 1991. Nirvana are recording Nevermind at Sound City Studios in Van Nuys, California, and Kurt Cobain wants some sort of an intro for a two-minute burst of manic catharsis he's just recorded with his guitar plugged directly into the mixing console, much to the chagrin of producer Butch Vig.
On territorial pissings, Kurt ignored Vig's protests and plugged his guitar directly into the mixing board, no amplifier, the style of countless low-budget punk records of the late 70s and early 80s.
Kurt wanted to plug straight into the desk for a trashy punk sound, Vig recalls, but I didn't think the guitar had any balls, so we actually split the signal between an amplifier and plugged Kurt's Proco Rat distortion pedal directly into the Neve control board and blended both into the final mix. When Cobain came to record his vocal for the song, he first sang a scratch vocal to warm up his voice. Then he got on the intercom to Butch Vig in the control room and announced, "Butch, I'm only going to sing one take on this. I'm not going to do any more." Kurt's title for the song? Territorial Pissings. But the sparse lyrics are about alienation and paranoia. For the chorus, he screams, "Gotta find a way, a better way," over and over. The song is blunt, abrupt. It starts, then it's over. Kurt or Butch or both feel like it needs something. A quote from Butch Vig: Kurt wanted to put some intro on the song. I said, "Why don't you do some stupid hippie lyric in there?"
"They just said sing something," says Chris. "So I did it in one take. It just kind of happened. I wanted to put some kind of corny hippie idealism in it. Maybe it was about lost ideals," Chris says. "Like, what happened to those ideals? Everybody get together, try to love one another, and then there's territorial pissings. Maybe some baby boomer will hear that and wonder, hey, what happened to those ideals?"
So think about it, the randomness of this situation. Kurt Cobain decides right then, this needs an intro. Butch Vig says, "Okay, how about just sing some stupid hippie shit?" Bassist Chris Novoselic has an idea. The first hippie shit he can think of, Get Together, the Youngbloods' 1969 top 10 hit. So he lumbers into the recording booth and sings the chorus of the song. Poorly. He howls it into the mic.
"Come on, people now! Smile on your brother! Everybody get together! Try to love one another right now!"
They think it's funny. It's just random. Spur of the moment. But because of these random spur-of-the-moment decisions, because of this 10 seconds of bad a cappella mockery, delivered, as Griot Marcus put it, with unmitigated contempt, gleeful realization of how stupid it is, because of those random 10 seconds, someone, somewhere, someday, and still to this day, stood to make hundreds of thousands of dollars. And for what? As Butch Vig put it, after Chris sang it and Kurt died laughing, he thought, "Do we have clearance on this? Is this going to be a problem?" Well, I found this footnote in a book called Copyright Law Symposium, published by the American Society of Composers. Published in 1991, Nirvana has received a complaint from the publisher of the Youngbloods' 1969 hit Get Together. Nirvana's song, Territorial Pissings, begins with a mocking version of the line, "Come on people now, smile on your brother, everybody get together, try to love one another right now." Without exception, critics from the Boston Globe, Seattle Times, and Washington Post have noted the satirical, mocking tone of this phrase as it is used in the Nirvana song. Seemingly, this would provide an excellent basis for a parody defense. Nonetheless, Virgin Music is considering paying the full mechanical licensing fee for a cover to settle the claim, despite the fact that these words constitute only a small fraction of the original song and an even smaller fraction of the Nirvana composition. Given that Nirvana's album has sold almost 4 million copies to date, this settlement would be for more than $200,000. Come on, people now, smile. To this date, Nevermind has sold 30 million copies. And for every one of those copies, someone got paid. Not the person who wrote the song Get Together, the source of those 19 unaccompanied words Chris Novoselic sang that day so obnoxiously. The guy who wrote it is dead, but even if he were alive, he wouldn't get paid for those 10 seconds of Chris howling into a microphone. But someone is getting paid. Still, Nirvana performed Territorial Pissings on Saturday Night Live and on the Jonathan Ross Show in the UK. It became their set closer, and they'd often end the song by destroying their equipment. You could still go to the BMI website and see that there are two names listed as composers for the song: Kurt Cobain and Chet Powers.
Love is but the song we sing, and fear's the way we die. You can make the mountains ring or make the angels cry. Know that love is on the wing, and you need not know why. Well, people now, and get together, we'll smile on your brother, trying to love one another right now.
His real name was Dino Valenti. That's the one that sounds like the stage name, but that was his real name. His stage name was Chet Powers. He was raised by carnival performers who did a vaudeville-style act in the off-season, so the family was constantly on the move. After a stint in the Air Force, he spent some time in Massachusetts before heading to New York City, specifically Greenwich Village, where the folk scene was taking shape. Dylan already had a record out, but Dino Valenti was prevented from acquiring a cabaret license thanks to an earlier arrest on his record. The cabaret license was a requirement beginning to be imposed on Greenwich Village entertainers at the time. After a couple of years struggling in New York, Valenti moved again to Los Angeles. In 1963, while crashing at the estate of the actress Edie Sedgwick, he wrote the song Get Together. Sedgwick was back east. Valenti had probably met her out there. She hung out with Andy Warhol and his crew. But Edie's family were rich and probably had a place in L.A., she heard Dino was heading that way and let him crash there. And that's where he remembers writing Get Together. Eventually, Dino Valenti migrated to San Francisco, where he met a former nightclub manager named Frank Werber, who now managed the wildly successful folk group The Kingston Trio, whom he'd met at the nightclub. Werber heard Valenti's song Get Together and brought it to The Kingston Trio, who released a live version of the song in June 1964 on their album Back in Town. While it was not released as a single, this was the first version to bring the song to the attention of the general public.
Love is but the song we sing, and fear's the way we die. You can make the mountains ring,
or make the angels cry. No, the dove is on the wing, and you need not know why. Come on, people, now smile on your brother. Hey, let's get together and love one another right now.
But as fate would have it, Dino Valenti ended up selling the publishing rights for the song to Frank Werber, because he needed money for a lawyer. But as music historian Alec Paleo told me, Valenti also sold the rights to Herb Cohen, Frank Zappa's manager. This is what Alec Paleo wrote. It goes like this. Basically, the songwriter Dino Valenti sold the song to two different sets of publishers, one of whom was Frank and his SFO Music. Valenti had been arrested for marijuana possession. He was searched again by police while awaiting trial, and they found more marijuana and amphetamines in his apartment. He received a 1 to 10 year sentence and was imprisoned at Folsom State Prison. Valenti sold the publishing rights to Get Together because he needed the money so he could hire a lawyer to negotiate his early release. When later asked by Rolling Stone if he regretted selling the song, Valenti answered, quote, "A lot of people say I was stupid for selling all my rights to the song, but for 10 years of my life, man, I can write another song." After completing his shortened sentence, Dino Valenti signed as a solo artist to Epic Records and released a self-titled album, spelling his last name with an E on the end instead of an I. That record came out in 1968, but Valenti left his song Get Together off of the album because it annoyed him that someone else would make the money from the song. In October of 68, he opened for Jimi Hendrix at San Francisco's Winterland Ballroom. But in 1969, Valenti moved back to New York to form a new band called The Outlaws, but things didn't work out, and he ended up joining Quicksilver Messenger Service. He wrote 8 of the 9 songs on the band's next album, Just for Love, which came out in 1970. 6 of those songs were credited to a pseudonym, Jesse Oris Farrow.
The Quicksilver Messenger Service.
Valenti would release 4 more records with Quicksilver Messenger Service. He passed away in November of 1994, 7 months after Kurt Cobain. But what of his song, the one he'd let go, Get Together? Around the same time as the Kingston Trio released the song, a pre-Byrds David Crosby recorded a demo of the song.
Some will come and some will go, we shall surely pass. When one who left us here returns for us at last, we are but a moment's sunlight fading on the grass. If you've heard this song I sing, then you must understand. You hold the key to love and fear, all in your trembling hand. One key unlocks them both, you know, and it's at your command.
But the version of the song that first broke into the top 40 in 1965 was released by the Wee Five, and their version was produced by Kingston Trio manager Frank Werber. They called it Let's Get Together, and it was a top 40 hit, peaking at number 31. The next year, 1966, Jefferson Airplane included a version of the song on their first album.
Love is but a song we sing, fear away we die. You can make the mountains ring, hear the angels cry. Know the dove is on the wing, you need not know why. Hey people now, smile on your brother, let me see you get together, love one another right now.
In 1967, a band called the Youngbloods released their version of the song. Jesse Colin Young from the Youngbloods heard the song at Cafe Agogo in Greenwich Village when singer Buzzy Linhart performed it. Jesse went backstage and had Linhart write out the lyrics for the song so his band could record it. Their version peaked at number 62 on the charts when it first came out in 1967. Also in 1967, a Chicago psychedelic group called H.P. Lovecraft included the song on their debut album. Numerous other versions of the song were released in 1968. The Sunshine Company, Linda Ronstadt, The Yankee Dollar, Three's a Crowd, The Staple Singers. In 1969, a group called Smith recorded a version of the song for their debut album. Thank you. 1969 is also the year that the song broke into the mainstream in a big way. It was featured in a television commercial for the National Conference of Christians and Jews, distributed to radio and television stations to support Brotherhood Week. At the time, broadcasters were required to run public service announcements for the public good. Nonprofit organizations vied for this airtime. The PSAs were very popular, and listeners started calling radio stations to request the song. This prompted the Youngbloods record company, RCA, to re-release the single. And this time, it was a big hit. Top 10. It reached number 5 in September of 1969.
Come on, people now, smile on your brother, everybody get together, try to love one another right now.
The Youngbloods were even asked to perform the song on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, but they ended up walking off the show after time ran out and they were asked to only play Get Together and not their new song that they were really looking forward to performing. In 1970, the Dave Clark Five took the song into the top 10 in the UK, reaching number 8 with their version, which they called Everybody Get Together. So now the song is a hit, a moneymaker, top 10 in both the US and the UK with different versions. But Dino Valenti had sold it to Herb Cohen and Frank Werber. Apparently Frank Werber won out in that dispute. But in 1967, Werber had left the music business, using the money he made, mostly off the Kingston Trio, to open a restaurant, which he named the Trident. Werba transformed a jazz club in Sausalito into a psychedelic health food restaurant. A Hooters for hippies, as one former employee described it, where braless waitresses wore see-through blouses, and a young Robin Williams was a busboy. Mick Jagger had his birthday party there, and Janis Joplin had her own special table by an arched window overlooking the bay. Woody Allen shot a scene for his 1972 movie, Play It Again, Sam, at the Trident. But in 1968, federal agents had raided Frank Werber's home and seized 258 pounds of marijuana, which he was accused of conspiring to transport. Werber admitted to smoking pot, but said he never trafficked in it. He argued that he was set up by drug dealers who were trying to save their own skin. A federal jury found him not guilty after a widely publicized trial, but he was then tried by Marin County authorities for possession and cultivation of marijuana. His defense attorney, Terrence Hallinan, would later become San Francisco's DA. The trial was a circus. Sheriff's officers dragged bags full of pot through the courtroom, and Hallinan talked about Mr. Werber's spiritual connection to pot, rooted in his experiences during the Holocaust. Celebrities marched in and out of the courtroom. Famous television personality Tommy Smothers testified on Frank Werber's behalf, and he said, quote, "Before he started smoking pot, he was a real asshole."
Just because you're paranoid don't mean they're not after you.
Werber's lawyer argued that his client used marijuana for spiritual purposes and therefore was protected by the Constitution, which guarantees religious freedom. The jury found Werber guilty of marijuana possession. He was fined $2,000 and sentenced to 6 months in jail. And so it happens that in the midst of this trial, Frank Werber sold his publishing interests to Jerry Moss, co-founder of A&M Records, whose publishing company was called Irving Music. So the year before the song became a big hit, top 10 in the US and the UK, Frank Werber, who bought the rights to the song from the author, Dino Valenti, sold the rights to the song to Jerry Moss. In 1974, Frank Werber sold off his stake in his restaurant, The Trident, and moved for a time to Hawaii, before retiring to a little mining town in New Mexico called Silver City at the age of 43. For a while, he moved into an old adobe lodge on 160 acres of wilderness once used by Teddy Roosevelt on his hunting expeditions. When he first got here, he did a lot of hanging out in the hot springs, playing the pseudo-cult leader guru, smoking a lot of weed, probably doing a lot of acid, Werber's daughter, Chala, recalled. Werber would eventually move back into town and rescue a failing newspaper, the Silver City Enterprise, publishing it for a few years. He passed away in 2007. Frank Werber was born in Cologne, Germany, but his family fled the Nazis when he was young, first to the Netherlands and then to Belgium. His mother died when he was a child, and after the start of World War II, he and his father were captured and imprisoned at a concentration camp in France. Werber told his family that he and his father were at one point lined up to be shot by a Nazi firing squad, but an officer ordered his father to be pulled from the line because he was the camp's best cook. His father wouldn't leave the firing line without him, so Frank Werber was also saved. The father and son later escaped, although the details are vague. They eventually immigrated to the United States. Frank Werber joined the Navy and later attended the American Academy of Art in Chicago and the University of Colorado. He also worked as a commercial artist, cab driver, horse rancher, ski lift operator, construction worker, and press photographer. He eventually landed in San Francisco, where he met Enrico Banducci, who operated the Hungry Eye nightclub. Werber impressed Banducci, and he hired him to manage the club. And that's how Frank Werber met the Kingston Trio. As I stated earlier, in 1968, Frank Werber sold his publishing to Jerry Moss and Irving Music. The next year, the song was a top 10 hit for the Youngbloods, and then in 1970, a top 10 hit in the UK for the Dave Clark Five. But at that time, Frank Werber was running a successful restaurant in Sausalito, the Trident. But things were different for Frank Werber in 1991, when Nirvana's Nevermind presented another opportunity to cash in on the song, Get Together. In 1991, Frank Werber was broke in New Mexico. So his daughter Chala told me that he hired a lawyer. Actually, his friend from the Kingston Trio days, Jerry Parencio, who had been the Kingston Trio's agent, but had gone on to become extremely wealthy, a billionaire. Jerry hired the lawyer. But the lawyer discovered that, yes, Frank Werber had sold his interest in the song. Years earlier, the publishing rights had gone to A&M through Jerry Moss, and then to Polydor in 1989, when Polydor bought A&M. In 1998, the Universal Music Group would absorb the Polygram Music Group, and with it, Polydor. Someone or some entity was going to collect money off the sales of Nevermind because Chris Novoselic sang 19 unaccompanied words, but it wasn't going to be Frank Werber. This is a message his daughter Chala wrote to me. I could tell you that my dad thought he still owned the song, but in the 90s he hired a lawyer who was able to find proof that he'd sold it. The lawyer was actually hired by my dad's friend Jerry Parencio. Jerry did it as a favor, because by then my dad was broke. And, as it turns out, Nevermind wasn't the only cash cow for whoever owned the publishing rights to Get Together in the 90s. In 1994, the same year that the song's author, Dino Valenti, passed away, the song was included on the 12 times platinum Forrest Gump soundtrack.
I would never hurt you, Jenny.
I know you wouldn't, Forrest.
I wanted to be your boyfriend.
That uniform is a trip, Forrest. You look handsome in it. You do.
You know what?
What?
I'm glad we were here together in our nation's capital.
Me too, Forrest.
We walked around all night, Jenny and me, just talking. She told me about all the traveling she'd done and how she discovered ways to expand her mind and learn how to live in harmony, which must be out west somewhere, because she made it all the way to California.
Hey! Anybody want to go to San Francisco?
I'll go.
Far up!
It was a very special night for the two of us. I didn't want it to end. Wish you wouldn't go, Jenny.
I have to, Forrest.
Jenny? Things got a little out of hand. It's just this war and that lying son of a bitch, Johnson. I would never hurt you. You know that.
You know what I think? I think you should go home to Greenbow, Alabama!
Forrest, we have very different lives, you know.
I want you to have this.
Forrest, I can't keep this.
I got it. Just by doing what you told me to do.
Why are you so good to me?
You're my girl.
I'll always be your girl.
Season.
just like that, she was gone, out of my life again.
Later still, in 1999, Garth Brooks would co-opt the chorus for the song on the ridiculous album he released by his alter ego, Chris Gaines. Dino Valenti writes a song, a peace and love anthem, in the summer of 1963, on an estate in California. People like the song, and a bunch of them record it, but it isn't much of a hit, yet. So in 1966, Dino gets busted for drugs. He needs money for a lawyer. He's facing 10 years at Folsom State Prison. So he sells his publishing, apparently to Herb Cohen and Frank Werber. Unbeknownst, one to the other. Werber ends up with the rights to the song. But in 1968, he gets busted for drugs. He needs money. And he's getting out of the music business. So he sells the Get Together Publishing to Jerry Moss, co-founder of A&M Records. He's the M in A&M. The very next year, 1969, Moss and Irving Music, his publishing company, cash in. The song is top 10, it's a hit, it's a moneymaker for a while. But it peters out, and it's mostly forgotten. Then, in 1991, Nevermind becomes an absolute phenomenon. And someone files a copyright claim against Nirvana. They want money, because Chris Novoselic sang the chorus of Get Together at the beginning of Territorial Pissings. Who wants money? Some conglomerate? Probably Polydor, who bought A&M? I don't know exactly how this bullshit works, but music historian Alec Paleo told me that it all probably transferred with A&M to Polydor when A&M was sold to Polydor. In the early 90s, Polydor was absorbed by the Polygram Music Group, and with Polydor, Polygram Music Group presumably absorbed the publishing rights to Get Together. The Polygram Music Group was eventually absorbed by the Universal Music Group. And with it, presumably, the publishing rights to the song Get Together, the rights that Dino Valenti sold to Frank Werber, who sold it to Jerry Moss, who sold it to Polydor, who sold it to Polygram, who sold it to Universal. These massive companies were able to collect money from the sales of Nevermind because Dino Valenti sold the rights to Frank Werber, who sold the rights to Jerry Moss, who sold the rights to... The Universal Music Group presumably still collects money on every sale of Nevermind. The money just goes on the pile. And all because of this...
Oh, the act, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to see in the Palace, I think they're sensational. It's presently a new group. They're really rocking them in the charts. I want a warm reception for the hottest group that we have today in show business, the Youngbloods. Let's hear it.
Song we sing feels the way we die. You can make the mountains ring, make the angels cry. Though the bird is on the wing, you may not know. Come and some may go, people we will surely pass. But no one that left us yet returns for us at last. We are but a moment's sunlight. Song I sing, people you will understand. Listen, you hold the key to love and fear, all in your trembling hand. Just one key unlocks them both. Don't you know it's there at your command?
Back.